It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
And good Friday morning, everyone. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy today. And our headlines this morning take us to Minneapolis again for the third straight night. More violence, more riots there, including an attack on a police precinct there, looting, burning down. And the mayor of Minneapolis just telling the police, just move away and let the rioters have their way up there. It is tragic. It's been a tragic week in that city with the death of George Floyd. And I don't think I've heard anyone say anything but justice must be done. If you're not familiar with that story, very quickly, four police officers in Minneapolis have been fired for the way they treated George Floyd, who died at the hands of a police officer there who put his knee on the back of this man's neck. And justice must be done. The president has said that. Every commentator I've heard, justice must be done in this case. The FBI has been called in to investigate the actions of the police there. But what has taken over in this story is mob violence in Minneapolis. As I say, this was the third night last night. The National Guard was called into some areas, but still, looters yesterday, even in the wake of the violence on Wednesday night, yesterday, the police stood back as more thugs, as the president refers to them, President Trump refers to them as thugs, went into a Target store that had been looted on Wednesday night, the first night of the violence there, or the second night, and were stealing things in front of TV cameras, and nothing was done. Fire department was told not to go near another business. I think it was an AutoZone that was burning. And the mayor apparently telling firefighters, telling police officers, just withdraw from it. And that has prompted a response early this morning from President Trump. And basically, I want to read you the tweet that went out from the president last night. He says, "I can't stand back and watch this happen to a great American city, Minneapolis. A total lack of leadership. Either the very weak radical left mayor, Jacob Frey, gets his act together and bring the city under control, or I will send in the National Guard and get the job done right." And in the second tweet, he continued, "Those thugs are dishonoring the memory of George Floyd, and I won't let this happen. Just spoke to Governor Tim Walz and told him that the military is with him all the way. Any difficulty, and we will assume control, but when the looting starts, the shooting starts. Thank you," end quote. So the president there sounding a very dire warning to the municipal leadership there in Minneapolis, unless they get these thugs, as he refers to, the looters under control, the president is ready. And it sounds like, as I say, the National Guard has been called out, but it sounds like the president is willing to even reinforce and build on that with regular military troops maybe being called in. So that's the situation in Minneapolis this morning. Now, Twitter has responded to the president's threat. And it is hard to believe that we're still facing this kind of thing. Twitter basically put a note on the president's tweet overnight and saying that because of what he said, because of what I just read to you, because of that, they accuse the president, Twitter does, of glorifying violence. Does anything that the president put out in that tweet late last night, early this morning, tell you he's glorifying violence? He's speaking out against it. He's calling on the mayor of that city to do something about it. And for that, Twitter says he's glorifying violence. But that's the situation of where we are this morning with all of this. Now, another element in this too is some of the coverage from the mainstream media. And Devin, this is going to be cut number one. Last night, in a, we call it a live hit from the scene, MSNBC Ali Walshi is doing a live hit with his network. And you've just heard what was going on there last night, the burning and the looting and the violence. I want you to listen how this reporter from MSNBC described it to the audience. And keep in mind, he's standing there in front of a burning building. And this is what this reporter says. Cut number one.
I want to be clear in how I characterize this. This is mostly a protest. It is not generally speaking, unruly. But fires have been started, and there's a crowd that is...
Not generally speaking, unruly, violent. You know, it's a protest. In the face of reality, they cannot bring themselves, even when standing in front of the results of the violence, to tell the truth. Now, why did this reporter do this? I mean, he's standing there. He's not looking at pictures. He's standing in front of this, the results of this violence, a burning building. I'm not sure it's the police precinct that was set on fire last night. But what would lead him to report, basically, hey, it isn't too bad here. It is because of the culture of MSNBC that you have to stick to the narrative. And the narrative is what's going on, what these looters, protesters, as the president calls them, thugs are doing, is honorable. Now, as we say, justice has to be done in the death of 46-year-old George Floyd. No question about it. Everybody agrees with that. But for a reporter at MSNBC to come on and say, really, it's not too bad, it's mostly protesting, not unruly, not violent, just flies in the face of reality. But at all costs, these leftists have to stick to a narrative. They have to stick to their narrative that what's going on there is justified. Sad. By the way, there was also violence last night in Denver in connection with what happened to George Floyd. There were shots fired at the legislative building in Denver, and also windows broken out in cars. Now, what did those people have to do with the death of George Floyd 1,000 miles away in Minneapolis? This is the face, folks, of anarchy. And you can you blame President Trump, and as I say, it was late last night, early this morning, tweeting this out, that unless the mayor of Minneapolis gets things under control, he's going to have to do something. He's going to have to send in the military to bring things under control. Here's what's going to happen, and there was an indication of this yesterday, in front of one of these burning buildings, and this is in during the daylight hours, there was a shop owner with a gun. And you're going to have this kind of reaction if business owners, if people aren't getting help from their local authorities to bring this under control, and I'm certainly not advocating this, you may see an escalation in the violence, more bloodshed, and that is the last thing that we want in all of this. Now, in Louisville, Kentucky, there was violence last night. There were protesters on the street there protesting the fatal shooting of a black woman. That this happened back in March. Breonna Taylor, the fatal shooting by police in that city. But last night there was a protest connected with that, and seven were shot. Now the police say not one police officer discharged his weapon. So this was within the crowd. Seven people were shot. This is what happens, folks. This is what happens when there is open advocacy, whether it's Black Lives Matter or whatever the case may be. There's going to be violence. There is going to be violence. As I say, justice has to be done in these unjust shootings, in these unjust taking down of individuals. But at the same time, we cannot live in a country where anarchy is being tolerated. And at the moment, that's what seems to be happening in Minneapolis. Something has to be done there. And the audacity of Twitter to say the president is glorifying violence by speaking out against the violence and threatening to send in the military is just one of those things that's just hard to understand. So be praying for the people of Minneapolis that there is some sense of peacefulness that returns there. But it may take a show of force from our military, certainly, to make that happen. We mentioned Twitter once again going after the president, and that has been a topic of discussion, certainly, in the last few days of what Twitter has been doing. And make no mistake about it, they are targeting the president in this case. Chris Wallace asked about this, and he says Twitter going down a very dangerous slope with Trump fact-checking. And that's what a lot of people are saying. Now, we do know, and we've been reporting this in the last couple of days, the person that Twitter has put in charge of overseeing integrity, I think they call it, is a person who hates Trump. And he calls Trump and his followers Nazis. This guy. Roth is his last name. And so as Chris Wallace points out, and Chris Wallace is no major conservative, in fact, he leans liberal, but he's saying, here's the problem. When Twitter starts fact-checking, in quotation marks, a politician, are they going to start fact-checking Joe Biden? Are they going to start fact-checking Nancy Pelosi? Because as Chris Wallace says, if they don't start doing it across the board, they're only hurting themselves. It becomes very obvious if they're going only after President Trump that this is not about fact-checking at all. It's about them, Twitter, being an arm of the Democratic Party. I will give credit where credit is due to Facebook at the moment. Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook is saying, we disagree with Twitter on this. We have a different policy. We are a platform, and we will allow the exchange of ideas to go out there and for people to determine what is truth and what is false. And that's why social media was set up. Certainly there's a lot of garbage on there. But when you have one of these social media platforms, in this case Twitter, deciding that they are going to be the arbiter of truth, then it becomes very dangerous. No wonder the president has been speaking out and is wanting an investigation into all of this. All right, you're listening to Sandy Rios in the Morning. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy. Our newscasts and our programs will be covering more on this throughout the day. Coming up after the break, we're going to be talking to our good friend Gary Bauer, Campaign for Working Families, on this topic and much more on this Friday morning of Sandy Rios in the Morning.
80% of the time, an abortion-minded mother who views an ultrasound or sonogram of her baby will choose life. Here's the story of Candace.
The sonogram sealed the deal for me. My baby was like this tiny little spectrum of hope. And I saw his heart beating on the screen. And knowing that there's life growing inside, I mean, that sonogram changed my life. I went from just Candace to mom. Thank you to everybody that has given these gifts. You guys are giving more than money. You guys are giving love.
There are currently preborn centers which do not have an ultrasound machine. Would you sponsor a machine today? Dial pound 250 and say keyword baby. That's pound 250 and say baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Your love could save a life.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today, we pray for John Ratcliffe, Director of National Intelligence. Director Ratcliffe heads the United States intelligence community and serves as an advisor to the president. Proverbs 11:14 reminds us of the importance of wise counsel. For lack of guidance, a nation falls, but victory is won through many advisors. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask you to guide John Ratcliffe as he leads the United States intelligence community. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Wondering how you'll finish your degree now? At Liberty University, we want to help. So when you transfer into one of our more than 100 undergraduate online programs this fall, you could earn up to $3,600 in transfer student scholarships, or more if you live in Virginia. That means you could pay less than $900 per course and transfer in up to 75% of your degree. That's up to 90 credits. Save time and money at a school that's been helping students like you for over 30 years. Learn more by texting degree to 49595. That's degree to 49595.
By now, you've probably seen the video of a guy named Costco Kevin, a defiant shopper who got booted from a Costco for refusing to wear a mask. The Costco member actually filmed himself being kicked out of the store, posted the whole story on Instagram, said he refused to wear a mask because he woke up in a free country. But it turns out his fans were not all that sympathetic. Costco has very clear rules about face coverings. If you want to enter their store, you have to follow their guidelines. And every customer has to wear a face mask. And most folks who've seen the now viral video are siding with the exasperated Costco worker who told Costco Kevin he was no longer welcome. The debate over whether or not to wear a mask is a fair debate. Personally, I choose not to shop in any place that mandates a face covering. That's my choice as a consumer. But Costco has rights too, whether you agree or not. I'm Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
And welcome back to this edition of Sandy Rios in the Morning. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy today, and a busy day it is. And on busy days like this, with so much going on in our country, it's always a delight to talk to our good friend in the Washington, D.C. area, Gary Bauer, Campaign for Working Families. Gary, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Great to be with you as always.
Yeah, Gary, we've been talking about another night of violence, third night of violence in Minneapolis. It seems the rioters, the thugs, as the president refers to them, is they're out of control. Local authorities last night abandoning a police station that was attacked and burned there. Businesses being looted in the daylight hours, police not doing anything, which prompted the president last night to basically issue a warning to the mayor in Minneapolis that he's going to be maybe forced to move in and bring the military in to bring order there. Your thoughts on all of this?
Well, that's a good summary and a sad summary. This is a good and decent country, and the overwhelming majority of the American people, black and white and everything in between, want there to be racial justice. I think anybody that saw the video, which admittedly is just a snippet in time, we We don't know everything else, and we're going to find that out. But the video was very disturbing. And when it was released and the investigation began, there were demonstrations in Minneapolis. Totally legitimate thing to do. That's what we are able to do in a free country. But look, there's a lot of incredibly radical organizations in Minneapolis. Anarchist groups, groups associated with Antifa, and those groups, as well as just local thugs, quickly hijacked legitimate demonstrations, and now for three nights in a row have converted the whole thing into, as you said, friend, rioting, thuggery, violence. And it's absolutely clear, as you watch all of this, that law enforcement from top to bottom has been told to stand down. And so that means that businesses that have already been operating in a difficult situation with the lockdown and the coronavirus, et cetera, now those business owners are watching their businesses go up in flames. It's unacceptable. Yeah. It has nothing to do with civil rights. And the mayor of Minneapolis, he's been terrible. The governor hasn't been much better. I guess the other point I would like to make, Fred, is that this has absolutely nothing to do with Donald Trump or Attorney General Barr. They're not responsible for any of this. They're doing everything they can and should do and are promising to do more if the situation is not resolved. But Minneapolis, like most cities, is a Democrat city from top to bottom. The mayor, the city council, all the power structures, the educational system. If there's racism or a police problem in Minneapolis, it has nothing to do with the president. It's got everything to do with the liberals that run the city.
Gary, what is the real goal of these anarchists? I mean, the goal is not just to go in and steal stuff at a Target store where they've broken the windows. What is the overall goal? What are they really after?
Well, the motives of all these people we're seeing, it's hard to generalize, obviously. But anarchists, and I know this is hard for people to believe, anarchists are successful in their own minds when they see everything being burned down. Their goal is the destruction of all civil society. I don't know how you get up in the morning with that being what motivates you. You know, I mean, it's hard enough to get up in the morning to go do something meaningful in life to try to make a difference for the betterment of people. But to get up every morning and ask yourself, what can I do today to destroy? That's hard to get at. Then there is the radicalization that we're seeing on the political left generally, where I have no doubt there are people that want to stoke racial tensions. And they again, that's a horrible thing to do in American society. And the people doing this, I think, ultimately, and you can see them burning American flags, going to the homes of police officers, threatening their families. These are elements that no healthy society can allow to get the upper hand. And I would urge, you know, there's a bunch of leaders here in Washington. The president's spoken up. The attorney general has. I haven't heard Vice President Biden say anything yet. Where's Nancy Pelosi? Just a couple of weeks ago, she was telling us that Republicans were unfair because they weren't going to send billions of dollars to states all over the union. And she used the card of, well, that money's going to be for the first responders, for our policemen and firemen. Hmm. Well, where is she now speaking up for law enforcement and the firemen who last night, again, were harassed and threatened when they tried to put out the fires?
You know, it's amazing that as we have been reporting, the president tweeting out earlier this morning that these thugs are dishonoring the memory of George Floyd, and I'm not going to allow this to happen. Says he spoke to the governor, told him that the military is with him all the way. Any difficulty and we will assume control. But when the looting starts, the shooting starts. Thank you. End quote. Twitter responded to that, saying what the president tweeted out violated the Twitter rules about glorifying violence. Gary, the president is speaking out against the violence by these anarchists, and he's accused of glorifying violence by warning that he will respond.
Yeah, I mean, I got up this morning, and I never know quite what I'm going to see when I power up the computer and reluctantly turn on the television set and see what I'm going to write about today and talk about today. I almost fell off my chair seeing that comment by the president of getting the equivalent of a ban or a warning flag put on it, as you said, because it's glorifying violence. Look, that's like a jihadist attacks the United States, and you know what the president says when that happens. You know, if it's an Iranian jihadist or ISIS or whatever, the president will go on Twitter and say, you're going, justice will prevail. We're coming to get you, and we're going to take you out. Is Twitter now going to suggest that a president standing up against enemies abroad or standing up for law and order here is going to have his comments banned on Twitter? We're way down the road, it seems to me, and it's accelerating, of this effort by the left to take away our civil liberties. I couldn't help but notice, you know, the way the good people of all races in recent weeks who have demonstrated in state capitals asking for the shutdown to be ended, and how the media treated them like they were, they literally called them Nazis.
Yeah.
Said that they were selfish, etc. And then we have this situation where these are selfish people. What, you're breaking into an ATM machine because you're interested in racial justice? Give me a break. NBC put out a notice to its reporters yesterday. No one can refer to the people in Minneapolis as rioters. They must be referred to only as demonstrators.
Hey, Gary, to that point, I don't know if you caught, Fox was reporting on this morning, and they may play cut one again for Gary. MSNBC reporter Ali Valshi was reporting from the scene last night. I want you to have a listen. Very interesting to go along with what you just told us. Very interesting how he reported with a burning building behind him. This is what he had to say. This is Ali Valshi, MSNBC. Cut one.
I want to be clear in how I characterize this. I want to be clear in how I characterize this. This is mostly a protest. It is not generally speaking, unruly. But fires have been started, and there's a crowd that...
It's not unruly. It's a pro, and he's got burning building behind him.
Yeah, you know, well, Fred, you just—I mean, by now you should know. You can't believe your lying eyes. You know what I mean? So even when any normal person can see what's happening, the American media, large elements or elements of it, are becoming almost like. That, remember Baghdad Bob or whatever his name
yeah.
was, the PR guy for Saddam Hussein? You know, Baghdad's getting the you-know-what kicked out of him by U.S. Aircraft, and he's standing there in front of a microphone saying, we don't see any Americans anywhere. Baghdad's fine. Nothing's going on, and you can hear the explosions in the background. I mean, at some point, the media is, whatever little credibility they have, is going to be completely gone. Look, my heart breaks for the people of Minneapolis, black and white.
Mm.
What business will go back into those minority communities and start up after seeing what can happen and how the local authorities will not protect their businesses? This kind of a strategy we're seeing almost destroyed Baltimore a couple of years ago. And it ended up in years of gang warfare and resignations by police officers. That's where Minneapolis is headed, and it's unacceptable. But this is what's going to happen in these big cities governed by the left who are unwilling to make tough decisions.
want to go back to with regards to Twitter's fact-checking policy, as they call it. The president yesterday signing an executive order saying he wants to do something about censorship that he sees certainly against him. So your thoughts on that, because I've even heard some conservatives say, well, we need to be careful about the government stepping in to those kinds of platforms. So your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, that argument that you just mentioned, we need to be careful about the government stepping in, that argument would have been very persuasive to me 10 years ago. But when you make that argument, when somebody makes that argument today, do they not notice what's going on? How conservatives have been shut off the university campuses. You can't have a conservative speak. How they even tried, the left tried to shut down the Trump rallies because they said they led to hate crimes. Ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. All over the country, the left methodically is shutting down conservative speech. Does anybody have any doubt, no matter what we end up doing, trying to get Twitter to be fair, does anybody have any doubt that if the Democrats, the left, gets back in control this November with the House, the Senate, the White House, with the media on their side, what they're going to end up doing to conservative speech and the social media? I mean, this good government argument that I hear is an argument that was good in the 50s and 60s. Today, the far left doesn't want conservative ideas to even be permitted to be expressed. And they don't care. They don't need a precedent. All they need is power. And what they're doing now on social media is part of their plan to get power so they can completely shut down conservative, pro-family, pro-life ideas.
With all these forces in play against the president, against conservatives, the question being asked at this point, what are the chances of the president's being reelected with so many strong forces, media, Democrats, universities, you name it, against him? What are the chances that you're seeing that the president has a chance for re-election this fall?
I'm really worried, Fred. I really am. Look, he's a tremendous campaigner. We still have a long way to go, but I've never seen forces arrayed against one man like they are against him. And I you know, every once in a while, I'll run into people and they'll go, yeah, you know, Gary, I agree with the president a lot, but I don't like his tweets. And he's mean to people. Folks need to take a deep breath and think this through. Fred, I'll tell you what was a very edifying moment for me in recent weeks. It was seeing how quickly progressive governors, left-wing governors, shut down the churches in America.
Mm.
They didn't apologize for it. They didn't do it reluctantly. They pointed at those pastors and priests and said, your church is shut down until further notice. There is a strong strain on the left that wants an end to religious liberty, an end to free speech, an end to the ability to speak conservative ideas. So we've got to understand what's at stake in the election. But I am deeply worried that with everything that's going on about whether the president can make it. I'm doing everything I can to help him win, but I think it's going to be a real battle.
All right. Much prayer is needed, Gary. And as always, we thank you for your assessment, and we're going to stay in touch with you. Gary, you put out a great end of day each day, an assessment of what's going on in our country. How can people get that end of day?
They can go to OurAmericanValues.org, OurAmericanValues.org.
Gary, always a blessing to talk to you. Take care.
You too. Great to be with you.
All right. You're listening to Sandy Rios in the Morning. 888-589-8840 is the number to call. 888-589-8840. Your thoughts on what's happening in our country right now. We'll be back right after the break.
The simple believes everything, but the prudent gives thought to his steps. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. In early March, the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention warned that it was possible to contract the Wuhan flu from contaminated surfaces. Now, the CDC has updated its guidelines to include a section on ways the virus, quote, doesn't easily spread, end quote. And the newly updated CDC guidelines now say the virus doesn't easily spread from touching surfaces or objects. Conventional wisdom concerning the virus for several months has now been completely upended. I'm glad we're getting better data on the virus, but this type of course correction drives the American people to demand our country reopen.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Ryan DeFrady's secret agent is back.
What is it, boss? Ninjas? An army of robotic sharks?
Ryan and his mom, or partner, overcome obstacles.
Hang in there, honey!
And outlaws.
I'm ready.
In some very unlikely settings. Kids from 6 to 12 will love these animated adventures. And they'll hardly know they're learning about forgiveness, telling the truth, and respecting authority.
Gross.
Available now at afastore.net.
To be an assistant to a chaplain is so rewarding, where you're able to use the assets that you have to be able to supply other soldiers with resources that can help them out. It's a huge mission field.
Exploring Missions. Listen Saturday evening at 6:30 Central and Sunday afternoon at 1 on American Family Radio.
A boy gets angry when his friends tell him the truth. A man listens and grows from it. Brian Fisher here with an excerpt from the Boy to Man book for fathers to read with their 12-year-old sons. A good friend once took me aside and said, "Brian, it seems to me like your heart is like that shed in the corner of your backyard. It's dark in there, and you have padlocked the door. You've locked it because there's a lot of dark stuff in there you don't want to look at. You need to unlock that door and let God start pulling stuff out into the light so he can help you deal with it. If you don't, it's going to hurt you and other people in your life." You think I wanted to hear that? Nope. But he put me on a journey of allowing God to examine my heart that has lasted to this day. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Order a copy as a Father's Day gift at afastore.net, afastore.net.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Donald Trump rightly says he's a wartime president. Only our enemy is not an invisible viral one. Rather, it's the Chinese Communist Party that deliberately unleashed a pandemic on us, arguably causing more damage to this country than any conflict in our history. Today, Mr. Trump will tell the nation what he is going to do in response to freedom's first strategic defeat at the hands of the CCP's unrestricted warfare against it. He must put America on a war footing. After all, as things stand now, the CCP's creeping destruction of Hong Kong will surely be followed shortly by the kinetic kind against Taiwan. Our only chance to stave off that disaster, and probably worse, is to take decisive actions now. There is no time for symbolic gestures or grandiose but hollow rhetoric. Mr. President, summon your inner Churchill and defend freedom. This is Frank Affney.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
And welcome back to the Friday edition of Sandy Rios in the Morning. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy today. 888-589-8840, the number to call. I'd like to hear your thoughts on what we've been talking to Gary about over the last few minutes, what's happening in Minneapolis and the what we're seeing demonstrated as anarchy there, which really has little to do with the death of 46-year-old George Floyd earlier this week. And as we've been reporting, justice needs to be done in that case. The four police officers fired, yes, but it has to go beyond that, and certainly the president indicating that yesterday. But it's part of this anarchy we're seeing, the violence in the streets, a third night of it in Minneapolis, but also breaking out in other cities across the country, L.A., Memphis, in Denver also. It's part of a rebellion against what has made America great, that's quite frankly. Because what does looting, what does stealing baby clothes and TV sets out of a Target store have to do with supporting George Floyd? It does nothing for that. In fact, the family of George Floyd has asked for calm in this case. They appall the violence just as much as everybody else. But your thoughts on this, and one of the last things we asked Gary was about what does this do for the president's chances of re-election this fall, because now he's facing opposition from Twitter, as we've been reporting over the last couple of days. Hey, one thing that Frank Gaffney mentioned that I wanted to draw attention to, today the president, President Trump, is supposed to make an announcement on his response to China and their growing aggression against Hong Kong. And we've had the announcement from Secretary of State Mike Pompeo this week of removing the autonomous status from Hong Kong. Now, that's not to speak out against the freedom fighters in Hong Kong, but it's just to realize that China wants to finally impose its communist regime upon that city. It was supposed to remain relatively free, even after it was turned over by the Brits to China over 22 years ago. But now we're going to see. The president over the last few years negotiating with Chinese trade agreements, but it's going to be very interesting to see how what's happening right now, what's happening with China's involvement with this pandemic, how that is going to play into the president's thinking and adjusting our policy towards China. That is, the president told reporters yesterday that he plans to make an announcement today. That is certainly going to be a major news worth watching. All right, 888-589-8840 is the number to call. And let's go to our first caller, who is in Kentucky, and we welcome Mark to the program. Mark, go ahead.
Hey, good morning. First and foremost, I want to thank our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, this program, this radio, this country, this nation that was founded under principles and wisdom that was from God Almighty. Mm-hmm. And we have the freedom, the liberty, or what's left of it. And I wanted to point out is that, which was your guest has already said, is that so much of this violence that goes on, is highly organized enemy that's within this nation that is effortless in relentless in trying to destroy and tear apart the very fabric of our nation. Everything from families through Planned Parenthood to these kind of violent events. I would go so far as to say that it is naive to not consider that even the action of this police officer killing this helpless, arrested, handcuffed person, that wasn't possibly contrived. It's naive to consider that that's not possible. I'm not suggesting it. I'm just saying that the mentality and the actions, the kind of things that people that are organized in this manner, that are under the auspices of Satan himself, might as well go that far. It is what's going on today, and I just pray against that, and I lift up our president, our vice president, and the righteous, the godly people. That are still in and around this country and endeavoring to do the right thing to uphold the very thing that our country was founded under and that we celebrated honored last Monday, Memorial Day, the people that fought and died, the true heroes that gave us the freedom that we do have some of that left, but we need to hold on to it.
Amen.
And to point these things out.
Mark, thank you very much. I appreciate your thoughts on that. And we can't repeat enough. It was horrible what happened to that man in Minneapolis earlier this week. And justice needs to be done beyond the firing of these four police officers. And the investigation will be done. And I think likely there will be charges laid. And that's why the president has called in the FBI to deal with at least a portion of the investigation there. But at the same time, it seems when these sorts of tragedies happen, we have elements in our society today that want to take advantage of it for political reasons. And that's why Gary and others refer to it as anarchy, because that's what it is. And we need to pray for the people of Minneapolis, but praying for our country too, because those forces are now being given platforms. And unfortunately, you have, we've been playing this reporter from MSNBC refusing last night to even acknowledge that this was anarchy, even with a burning building behind him. All right, let's go back to our phones to Arkansas this morning, and we say hello to Joe. Joe, go ahead.
Okay, it looks to me clear that the left and the Democrats are no longer participating in the political and economic fit for enterprise economic system of this country. But what they're doing has gone beyond anything that should be tolerated. What they're doing is they're involved in treason and insurrection against this country. They don't want the people to be able to choose their leaders freely in elections and so on like that, like our system is supposed to be. They want to use every possible, you know, lever of power they have to put themselves in permanent power forever. And that shouldn't be tolerated anymore by the patriotic people of this country. They should be treated as the equivalent of a foreign invading army, enemies of this country. And unless they are physically removed from being able to influence the politics of this country, you know, they are going to destroy this country. That should be recognized.
Yeah. Well, Joe, I think that's why we have elections. And as our boss here at American Family Association has said, you know, elections have consequences, folks. And I would point out that there is not a lack of information as to what is going on. We have a great piece on our OneNewsNow.com site right now, OneNewsNow.com, from Dr. Frank Wright, former head of the NRB and National Religious Broadcasters, and it's entitled Taking Off the Masks. And to our caller's point, it is very interesting, and Frank Wright points this out, that you look at the states controlled by Democratic governors, and I'm thinking the example would be Michigan, I'm thinking of California, I'm thinking of Virginia. In those states, it's been very interesting how the Democrats have responded to the pandemic, continuing the lockdown, while there are other states like Florida and Georgia and Texas are opening up, and the dire predictions of a huge spike in deaths in those states that are opening up have not happened. And as Frank Wright points out, looking at those Democrat-controlled states perhaps gives us an indication of what socialism would look like under Democratic rule. Government control over every aspect of a person's life, telling you where you have to wear masks, telling you when you can open your business, telling pastors when you can hold a church service. My goodness, what we saw in Chicago in recent days, where the mayor sent police to a church, they pounded on the door. There were 45 people inside this church, and they were told they were violating the rules of only 10 people being able to assemble at a time. This is the kind of thing that you need to be careful about, be watching, because I think Frank Wright has a very good point to make. It may be an indication that the governors of states like Michigan and Virginia and Illinois need to be watched, because perhaps they're demonstrating to us what socialism would look like on a national scale should those socialists be allowed to take over. Let's talk to Bill in Alabama this morning. Good morning, Bill.
Hey there, Mr. Jackson. The only thing I got is Twitter a stock that's being traded on the stock exchange? And if it is, I think we ought to have somewhere where we ought to just go ahead and take our money and get out of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can't say definitively that's the case, but it's a privately owned company, so it not surprise me. But I think the other thing is, and possible solution, you know, Twitter depends on advertising dollars. The president, I think, has over 80 million Twitter followers on his Twitter account. And I'm sure there are many out there that could just say, let's find something else. It was suggested news conference with the president yesterday. Maybe an alternative to Twitter and Facebook needs to be found if they're going to start these kinds of restrictions. All right. In Alabama, I believe it's Jenny. Do I have that right?
Yes.
Yes, go ahead, Jenny.
I was going to suggest, and I don't know the feasibility, how much trouble it would be, conservatives, Christians, real liberals, I believe, need to get their heads together, the think tanks together, and set up a competition like Twitter and Facebook, but with the rules laid out very clearly and simply up front of participation, and that way actually have a platform where Christians and conservatives, anyone who speaks out against the, quote, status quo, is not ghosted or just shut down.
Yeah, I think, you know, Jenny, perhaps what's happening and what has happened with Twitter this week in going after President Trump and his comments on various topics, that may lead to the creation of another platform. But, you know, it's not so much if the platforms would stick to their original business plan, I don't think people would have a problem with it. If these platforms allow all comments to be made without bringing in this idea, which Twitter has done, of fact-checking, a lot of people may not be aware that Twitter, this guy who is their guru over designating what is proper content on Twitter, do you know who he uses to back him up on his fact-checking? CNN. That's one of the news agencies he uses. Now, we all know where CNN stands with President Trump. So that's the problem there. And Chris Wallace of Fox News has pointed this out. This is very dangerous for Twitter to do this, because once they've done this, they're showing their bias. And I believe people will naturally just leave Twitter because they're not going to put up with this kind of thing. So, I don't have a problem with these platforms. Probably disagree with most of the comments being made, Facebook, Twitter, whatever the case may be. But as long as you describe yourself as a place where ideas can be placed, you can disagree, you can agree, but once you bring in that element that says, I don't like this individual, we're going to block what they say. Now, I'm not talking about tweets. I'm not talking about Facebook comments that advocate for violence against an individual, that kind of thing. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking in particular, and let's keep with the topic, politics. Let there be a free platform so people can read information from both sides. Hey, listen, this is a debate that is not going to end with this program this morning, but we're going to continue to cover this and have people think a whole lot more about this, because we are entering into the election season. And I believe I'm not the first to say this, this election is going to be one of the most important elections in the history of this country. Hey, been great to be with you today. Great to sit in for Sandy. She'll be back in the chair on Monday morning. Hey, listen, go and have yourself a blessed weekend. And remember, as always, make it a point to be a blessing to someone else today. Have yourself a great weekend. Bye for now.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.